In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, please be seated. Happy Mother's Day! As a child growing up in Sunday school, the order of the day always seemed to be pencils. These pencils, coming in a rainbow of colors and usually sparkly, perfect for me, all said, "Jesus loves me." So I took the pencils to school, and as I learned my multiplication tables or practiced cursive writing or drew the Powerpuff Girls on scratch paper, I was always reminded that Jesus loves me. The problem with this is that, similar to any phrase or word, if you repeat "Jesus loves me" over and over again, it starts sounding a little vague. If this phrase is given to everyone, it's hard to figure out how this love applies to us as unique individuals. And if it's hard to understand, then it's really hard to use in everyday life. So, to interpret a phrase that's said to children, maybe it's best to think like the children. This summer, I was given the opportunity to lead summer Sunday school here at St. Francis, and we did it by taking children's books and relating them back to God. As it's Mother's Day and Youth-Led Sunday, I'd like to share with you a book that my parents used to read to me when I was little. Guess How Much I Love You. Little Nut Brown Hare, who was going to bed, held on tight to Big Nut Brown Hare's very long ears. He wanted to be sure that Big Nut Brown Hare was listening. "Guess how much I love you," he said. "Oh, I don't think I could guess that," said Big Nut Brown Hare. "This much," said Little Nut Brown Hare, stretching out his arms as wide as they could go. Big Nut Brown Hare had even longer arms. "But I love you this much," he said. "That is a lot," thought Little Nut Brown Hare. "I love you as high as I can reach," said Little Nut Brown Hare. "I love you as high as I can reach," said Big Nut Brown Hare. "That is quite high," thought Little Nut Brown Hare. "I wish I had arms like that." Then Little Nut Brown Hare had a good idea. He tumbled upside down and reached up the tree trunk with his feet. "I love you all the way up to my toes," he said. "And I love you all the way up to your toes," said Big Nut Brown Hare, swinging him up over his head. "I love you as high as I can hop," laughed Little Nut Brown Hare, bouncing up and down. "But I love you as high as I can hop," smiled Big Nut Brown Hare, and he hopped so high that his ears touched the branches above. "That's good hopping," thought Little Nut Brown Hare. "I wish I could hop like that." "I love you all the way down the lane as far as the river," cried Little Nut Brown Hare. "I love you across the river and over the hills," said Big Nut Brown Hare. "That's very far," thought Little Nut Brown Hare. He was almost too sleepy to think anymore. Then he looked beyond the thorn bushes, out into the big dark night. Nothing could be further than the sky. "I love you right up to the moon," he said, and closed his eyes. "Oh, that's far," said Big Nut Brown Hare. "That is very, very far." Big Nut Brown Hare settled Little Nut Brown Hare into his bed of leaves. He leaned over and kissed him goodnight. Then he lay down close by and whispered with a smile, "I love you right up to the moon and back." Big Nut Brown Hare doesn't just love Little Nut Brown Hare. He loves him all the way to the moon and back, which to Little Nut Brown Hare is unfathomably infinite. I think that's a good metaphor of God's love for us. No matter how much we love him, whether our love for him extends all the way to the moon, God always loves us more. He loves us more than we can imagine. Even when we make mistakes, his immense love is there for us as a safety net. God's love for us is just like a parent's. For example, when we're little, we draw the same picture over and over with slight variations. It usually involves a house, square, with a nice front door and two windows and a chimney. There's grass in front and maybe a flower that's taller than the house. And then we draw in our family, parents who are taller than the average NBA player, and a kid, usually labeled me, that's only a little bit bigger than a blade of grass. Overhead shines a bright pink sun, shining down on the red grass. But no parent would snatch the drawing out of a kid's hands and say, "That's wrong. The sky is blue and the grass is green and you are not that small." Instead, they smile and talk about how pretty the flower looks and what a good job you did coloring and, "Wow, you even spelled me correctly," and then proudly stick it on the fridge. Well, God is the same way with us, and more so. When we make a mistake, he doesn't become angry. He doesn't hold a grudge. Instead, he smiles, and as we grow, hopefully, we don't eventually continue to make the same mistake. Even though the picture with the pink sun stays up on the refrigerator, making the mistakes hard to forget, we eventually learn that the grass is green and that flowers are not bigger than people. God's love for us is infinite and unconditional. And Jesus lets us know of this love for us in today's gospel. He hasn't hidden the ball, he hasn't tried to keep it in the dark in hopes that we'll try our hardest and fail and then be happy to get this reprieve in the end. He says, very clearly, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." That's pretty awesome, if you ask me. It's awesome because we focus so much time on how Jesus is God's only begotten Son, and Jesus does everything God asks when sometimes we are less willing. And Jesus seems to almost never, with a few minor and excusable exceptions, have any issue with what he has been put on earth for. Jesus has set the bar pretty high, and it's impossible for us to catch up. But when we think back to those disciples who he's talking to, they weren't perfect either. They had their moments. Peter denies Jesus, and Thomas doubts him, and Judas betrays him. Perfection is something we strive for, but even the best of us aren't capable of it. At the end of the day, we are all prodigal sons and daughters, and yet Jesus still loves us just as much as God loves Jesus. I went to adult Bible study at St. Francis once, and being the only kid there, I didn't say much. Actually, I didn't say anything. We were discussing the Beatitudes, and in particular, the sixth one. "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." This one is different than the others. It's more vague and more complex. It takes time to understand who the pure of heart are and how they see God. Well, I went home and I told my mother that I believed that the heart is to God as eyes are to light, or as ears are to sound, or as the tongue is to taste. You interpret God through your heart, and if you let your heart get all fogged up with thoughts about AP calculus tests, or the infinitely long lists of things to do before graduation, or perhaps regrets from not doing something you used to love as often as you should, or worrying about what tomorrow will hold, then it becomes more and more difficult to see God. If we really want to have a connection with God, we need to let go of the trivial and not so trivial matters that weigh down our hearts, at least for a little while every day, and really open our heart's eye to let God in. My high school is a school that strives for perfection. Everyone always wants the highest test scores, the best win streak for their sport, the most trophies at drama festival. We post our successes onto Facebook and count the likes, and when someone posts something similar to us, we compare how many likes we have. It's competitive, and this year it got to the point where a few juniors were so stressed about grades that they ended up starting a huge cheating scandal. After everything came to light, we spent the next few days looking at news vans from ABC and NBC and KTLA parked across from our school. I was angry, and so were my fellow students, for putting our school, for which we had worked so hard to make our academics prestigious and our extracurriculars outstanding, in jeopardy. But after everything cooled off, we all realized how sad it was that students were so worried about their grades and what their parents would say, that they couldn't trust that everything would be all right in the end. Jesus doesn't want us to go through that. He doesn't want us having the insecurity of not knowing whether, in the end, he'll be watching out for us. So he tells us, just as plainly as a rainbow sparkly pencil, saying, "Jesus loves me." We just have to open our hearts and listen. Amen.